We're going to continue with what we started last week. Why did the church fall asleep? This is going to be, I'm going to do a little recap and then we're going to get into part two. I started out talking to you about futurism, and I believe it's one of the biggest deceptions that the deep state, the beast system, has ever done to the church. If you think there's no deep state preachers, you better think again. There's a bunch of them. And maybe knowingly some and unknowingly have they pushed doctrines that are nowhere, that keep us focused out there somewhere so we don't focus on the devil right here, right now, what he's doing right now. This is what the word futurist and futurism may be unfamiliar to most Christians today, yet 100 years ago it was well known among all Protestants. E.B. Eliot, in his classic commentary on the book of Revelation, republished for the fifth time in 1862, and he gives the background to that definition. The futurist scheme, as I have elsewhere stated, was first, or nearly, propounded about the year of 1585 by the Jesuit Ribera, as the fittest one to turn aside the Protestant application of the apocalyptic prophecy from the Church of Rome. All roads lead to Rome. In England and Ireland of late years, it has been brought into vogue chiefly by Mr. S.R. Maitland and Mr. Berg, followed by the writer of four of the Oxford tracts on Antichrist. Its general characteristic is to view the whole apocalypse, at least after the epistles to the seven churches, as a representation of the events of the consummation and second advent, all still future. I was thinking about when Jesus, whenever he went back, and the apostles are standing here going, angel said, why are you standing here standing looking up here? The same way that Jesus left, he's going to come. That doesn't quite fit on the horse scenario, does it? He's going to come in the clouds, which represents power and authority, clouds. He's going to come the way he left. That's what the angel said. The Israel depicted it in being the literal Israel, the temple, a literal rebuilt Jewish temple at Jerusalem, and the Antichrist, or apocalyptic beast, until his last head, a personal infidel, Antichrist, fate to reign and triumph over the saints for 3.5 years. The days and the chronological periods being all literal days rather than years, until Christ's coming shall destroy him. So what he's saying here is this: we're still looking up, so we don't do nothing. Isn't that what's happened? We're looking for all these natural signs. When I told you the book of Revelation was a vision, and it's symbolic, and it's open to divine inspiration, I believe God's showing you, opening your eyes. That's why the unsealing of the seals for the end time, those in the end time will see it. According to the futurist viewpoint, the whole 18 years that have passed subsequently are to be viewed as a blank in prophecy, the period having been purposely skipped over by the divine spirit in order at once to plunge the reader into the events and times of the consummation. In other words, when futurists look at the book of Revelation, they say little or no prophetic fulfillments during the entire course of Christian history. In its modern form, almost everything is predicted to be fulfilled after the rapture, after we're gone, with two of its primary characteristics being the belief in a single future evil Antichrist person and the belief that prophecy will then center around the literal Jewish nation with its supposedly rebuilt temple. So, as I was reading this, I was thinking about the scripture that Jesus comes as a thief. And it says it several times. We're going to look at that. He comes as a thief. Well, a thief comes in, and he's in and out. You don't even know he's been there. We're looking, naturally speaking, we're looking at all these natural signs here. That's the fallacy of trying to look at a spiritual book and to discern it with natural eyes. We can't. We have to let God lead us in this. Okay, futurism, the great deception, scripture interprets scripture. Scripture. Now, if you've got a doctrine, something you strongly believe, I challenge you, go find something to back it up. Scripture interprets scripture. Since it's all going to happen in the future, then it really is not relevant for today. Why should I resist the Antichrist? The church will be out of here, so we won't even know who he is. You ever heard that? I used to think that myself. Everyone is sitting around looking for all these future events to take place so they can gauge when we're in the end time. God, if you can't gauge it by what's going on now, you really are asleep. It's called end time, so we just put it out of our minds saying someday. What John saw was a vision. It was basically what Daniel saw, two different secretaries. I want to look at the closing and opening of the seals, which I'm not going to go back in that. We're just doing a recap here. We looked at the seals, the Old Testament sealed, the New Testament revealed. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the word revelation means disclosure. Disclosure. Disclosure of what? His appearing, his coming, the manifestation. This is what I believe. I believe the Lord has shown me is that in the opening of the seals, it is the Great Awakening. I also believe totally that the Q movement is ordained by God to do this very thing, to wake everyone up. This is the time of the wake-up call. This is the time of the Lord is at the door, and he's trying to wake the virgins up. The ones that trim their lamps and added extra oil are the ones that have been preparing and keep their lamps burning, even though nothing happened for a long time. The ones that trim their lamps and didn't add the extra, they stopped along the way and didn't keep moving with the plan. I've been praying for people that I know. You know, they're just one of these, they're type of people that they may be even Word of Faith people, but they just don't want to hear nothing, don't want to hear nothing, don't want to hear nothing. If you say something, well, I got made fun of one day by someone. They tell me, well, those people you're listening to, they drug addicts? They on drugs? And I said, no, they're not on drugs. I said, they're actually professors that have degrees as long as your arm, that are credible and relevant from every university across this nation. I said, that's the kind of people I'm talking about. When Jesus comes to the earth, you realize that it will be a natural kingdom just like it is now. 1,000 years. Lifespans will increase. A man dying at 100 would be thought to be a child. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Everything that would have hurt us has been removed. No more deep state. Devil in the pit for 1,000 years. Natural kingdoms will operate, but the virgins that had extra oil will use that and rule and reign with him on the earth. So are we ruling and reigning with him right now? We are. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So right now, we are training for reigning, not just in this time, but the time that is coming very soon. If we don't learn it now, we cannot be a part of it there. Do you understand that? So we should count this, we're privileged to be in a place. And I know there's people all over this nation and all over the world that God is waking up to do the very same thing. If we don't do it in this time, we won't be allowed to do it in that time. It's kind of like with the parable of the talents. We're going to graduate you because you took what you had and you used it. But if you just had one and you didn't use it, well, I'm sorry, you're not usable. Boo-hoo all you want, this is just the facts. The wise will reign, the foolish won't. The 1,000-year reign will be literal. I mean flesh and blood, not some heavenly abode. The city of God won't come down out of heaven until the 1,000 years is over. Okay. I talked to you about, we read about the beast system and the seals being opened, the scorched earth. All right, the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord in his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Remember this, the book of Revelation reveals our past, in my opinion. The trumpets are warning before an event took place. The devil and the beast system are false. They have false flags. The church has had authority for 2,000 years. The church could have stood up and taken authority over the beast system any time. But no, a fake rapture theory and futurism doctrine caused them to say, well, it's not time. We haven't been raptured yet. Snore, snore. God has given the earth to man to tend it and occupy it till he comes. And he gave us the Lord's Prayer to pray so that we can ask him to come and intervene. The prayer for our leaders helps keep the leaders going in the right direction, the devil under our feet. How has our history looked to you? And I wrote here, carnage. Do you think that the Lord enjoys seeing all this carnage, yet he is waiting for an invitation to step in as a good landlord? He lets man call the shots. Man has done a lousy job. We can't drop the ball on this. God is beginning to hear our crying. Our even so come, Lord Jesus. It's gotten so bad. It's kind of like in the days of Noah. Kind of like in the days whenever, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. That is how bad the world has surrendered to the beast system, just like in Noah's day, a day of desperation. That is where we are. Satan has nearly successfully taken over most of the world. The beast system is in place in most of the world. The only countries, the Northern Hemisphere, I guess really the United States is about the only country that the total takeover of the communist socialistic agenda. Thank God that he's stopping it. Old Burnmeister, he's not going to make it. Even the deep state's working in our favor on that one, aren't they? Thank God the virgins have awakened and trimmed their lamps. All right, I talked to you about the mark of the beast. I believe that we have been deceived today because we have not realized that the book of Revelation is a spiritual book and we have tried to decipher it with our natural minds. That's why everyone is all over the place concerning end time events. God reveals his word to us through our spirits, and the book of Revelation is no exception. Just the title alone should speak for itself, Revelation. Whenever I started this series on television, the Lord just gave me full disclosure. I didn't know what he meant. Totally, not at first. Many people freak out over a literal mark, the mark of the beast, when they don't discern that the beast system went into effect in Genesis 3, the day man fell. They were marked. Whose God they served then. He became the God of this world system. Duh, no surprise there. Many fear biometrics or implants, but I believe it goes much deeper than that. We talked about their worship. Okay, the mark of our God is rooted in our worship and our allegiance to him, and so is the mark of the beast. All right, everything that is decent, wholesome, and good, they do. They go against everything. That's their worship. Okay. All right, I talked to you, and I've heard this two or three times this week, people bringing up this 16-year plan, because they're still pushing that plan. That's why I think Hillary's going to try to get in office. She won't, but she's going to try. Okay. All right, I issued you a challenge. The Lord quickened me about not looking at the spiritual book of Revelation so naturally. He had me look into the two witnesses as an example. Where did I leave off? Let's see. Okay. All right. Just in the last few weeks, the Lord has caused me to believe that maybe we are really at the very end and the Lord is soon to be here, or that will be issued into the 1,000-year reign. When he awakened the virgins, he was already at the door. What is happening? The Great Awakening in the Q movement isn't just in America, but it's happening all over the world. That's what convinces me. It's not just in our nation, but it's in every nation. All right, we're going to read Revelation 11. Right quick. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. They are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God, the God of all the earth. This is something, this about the two witnesses. After I heard this lady make this statement about the Q movement and then sealing of the seals, the next day the Lord quickened me, go study about the two witnesses and see what you find, okay? And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. Great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, this is what, I'm just going to show you what the Lord said to me about it. The Lord quickened me about not looking at the spiritual book of Revelation so naturally. He took me to the two witnesses as an example. Remember, futurism has caused this great deception in the church. Everyone is expecting two old prophets to show up and preach for 3.5 years. You know the story. So I began to do a study on them. I believe they are symbolic and not literal, and I'll tell you why. They are called the two witnesses. What does a witness do? They observe something and they give their account. Moses established God's government. The old covenant, Elijah, the church, he was a man of faith. He's the second witness. The plagues and turning water into blood, justice of the government. The ability to call fire and shut up the heavens, the church. The government of God and the enforcers of that government. See the symbolism here. I'm not saying that that is an absolute, but it's like the seal has been ripped off my eyes and I can see where I couldn't before. The two witnesses are called olive trees. Olives give illuminating oil, Zechariah 4. They're called the two candlesticks. That's a menorah or a candelier or a chandelier. Who are God's witnesses in the earth? Acts 1:8 says we are. Them being dead in the street spoke a lot to me, and why they wouldn't bury him. We've been dead and asleep. The church has been dead and asleep. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the other part of the earth. Two prophets can't be everywhere at one time, but the church can. Remember the book of Revelation, and it's a book about our history from the beginning until present. Who is the light of the world? Jesus said that he was, but then he said we were. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 25, the virgins had lamps and they had oil in their lamps. Go do your own study. Tell me what you think. I mean, I as I began to study, I said, Lord, this doesn't sound like two people. This sounds symbolic. There's no doubt to me after this study that these are examples of two eras of our past history where two prophets stood against the beast system of their day. Moses with Pharaoh and Elijah with Jezebel and the prophets of Baal. Could this be symbolic rather than an actual event? Is this to be literally interpreted or is it symbolism for something else? Daniel's account and John's account are full of symbolism, as of a lot of the Bible. Joseph is a prime example of the dream he interpreted for Pharaoh. Blighted ears of corn consumed fat ears of corn. Skinny cows ate up fat cows. We know that this could not be literally. It was talking about an event that was coming. People today, mainly the church, are waiting for all these events to line up and present themselves before they will get serious about the times we are in. They keep pushing it further and further away. The Antichrist has been revealed. The system we're born into and has operated secretly and covertly until now. Now the great awakening is here and the seals have been opened so that all who are awake will see the truth and where we really sit in history. I believe we are very close to the end. Remember, they were slain and lay dead and no burial. The evil ones danced in the street and gave gifts to one another. Isn't that what they're doing right now? They're mocking us, pushing back on us, making us feel like we have no place to go. Is this the dead church that is now awakening and taking their seat of authority? You know, God raised them. They went back up to the throne. I'm more inclined to believe this than it being literal. Did the Lord for a time remove the candlesticks? Our lights went out. Evil overran everything because it did. So we'll look at some scriptures here. Revelation 1. Like I said, I don't pretend to know everything, but I've been doing some studying myself, and I finally kind of feel like I got a grasp on it like I never had before. It just makes more sense, even naturally. All right, this is Revelation 1:12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, the candlesticks are the churches here, people, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. And his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. Now we know, literally, he doesn't have a real sword coming out of his mouth. It's a word. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So the two witnesses are called the two candlesticks at God's right hand. Okay, Revelation 2. Well, I'm not going to go into this. Is just Revelation 2 talks about the different churches. Revelation 3 talks about the seven churches. Excuse me. If you want to read those this week, he tells them their faults. He tells them good things, and he tells them their faults. Okay. Revelation 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book and neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So we see the symbolism here again. Jesus doesn't literally have seven eyes and horns. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We see the awakening happening all over the world, and hast made unto us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. You know, as I was reading that, the Lord quickened to me. You see why, because of the time of the computer and the internet and social media, now the whole world is like, it's become so small. Because you can know in a second what's going on the other side of the world. That's how come people knowing about President Trump and knowing about the Q movement, all the people in India that had their Q signs and stuff, you know, that they've shown pictures of. People in Arab countries, you see them with their Q signs. You see them in Antarctica with their Q signs. They're all over the world with their Q signs. It's united the nations. It's caused the patriots in every country to raise up, those that want freedom. They may not know God at this point, but they know there's a pull, there's a draw for something better. This sort of reminds me of the Tommy Hicks and Brother Hagin visions of the end time. I was thinking about that. He saw people just consumed with the fire of God and taking the gospel into the nations. Both of them did. Both of them saw that. I see that. I see that coming. I just want to challenge you to rightly discern the word of truth. Don't let futurism cause you to miss the times that we're in. I remember Brother Hagin was holding a meeting. There was a woman prophet in the congregation. I think it was Claire Grace, but I'm not sure. Brother Hagin could tell that she was seeing something, and he asked her what she was seeing. She said that Jesus just rode in on a white horse and was observing the troops. Did she see him literally? No, spiritually. I believe that is where the Lord is. The Lord has been moving us to live by the inner man, not to believe what we see. Do you see what futurism has done? The church is focused on signs but not discernment. Well, I believe it when I see them horses come down from the heavens, but I ain't going to believe it until I see that. Well, they're probably going to miss it because we're spirit people that walk by the Spirit. And we may actually see that happening, but it won't be natural. Think about it. I'm just waking up to this, and so are you. So let's let the Holy Spirit confirm to us what the truth really is and where we are in His timeline. In fact, I just want to be at the right place at the right time. Just lead me where I don't have to have complete understanding. But I think everyone knows the time is here. Everyone senses it. Anyone that's woken up does. Whether He comes literally or not, we know He is King and we follow Him. Whether He is literally here or not makes no difference in our ruling and reigning. He's here. Yeah, I do. Pause it. Whether He comes literally or not, we know He is King and we follow Him. Whether He is literally here or not makes no difference in our ruling and reigning. Imagine we're being trained for the 1,000-year reign of God on the earth. I know that we've been taught that this is where we will all be changed, but I'm not sure about that. We do know that the devil will be in the pit bound during this time, and that the beast and the false prophet will be in the lake of fire. How good is that? And it's the God is completing his last year. You know, it said he created the heavens and the earth 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. So he's going to allow us to rest. Allow the earth to rest for 1,000 years. He's going to have his what he wanted before it got all messed up. Okay, Revelation 19. Verse 11. I know this is new and different, but it makes sense to me. Where before, anytime I'd sit down to read Revelation, it was just confusion. And another fallacy is it's in chronological order. It is not. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now, I've told you before, what happens, what we see in the earth is what's already happened in heaven, okay? John was seeing it in heaven. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses and clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. It's kind of like Elijah and Elisha. Not Elijah and Elisha, but Elisha. Was it Elijah? No, Elisha. And Gehazi. What did Elisha see? He saw the chariots of Israel and the horsemen all round about him. And he asked that the Lord would open Gehazi's eyes that he would see that there was more with them than were with the army. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what Myrna Hickey taught me many years ago, you have to realize, there's always a heavenward side and a, like an earthly side, like the vials and different things. She said there's a meaning from what's coming heavenly and how it's perceived from the earth. There's two ways of looking at it. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small, both small and great. I see this as the tribunals, the draining of the swamp. I mean, there's going to be loss of life, there's no doubt. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Isn't that what this is all about? Isn't that what it's been about all along? Them exalting Satan and trying to stamp out every Christian, every conservative voice right now. That's what's going on right now. That's part of the battle that we face. That's what we're standing for, proclaiming right now. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive to the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. There is definitely a heaven side version, and there is going to be an earthly version. We're seeing it. We haven't seen a lot yet, but we are beginning to see it. People are beginning to be sent to prison. Have you noticed? They've been doing some indictments and some people being. There was somebody in Obama's White House had 17 counts or something of espionage or something, which Obama even wrote a book, and it was an insurgency plan against the United States. And they set it in motion in 2016 before Trump ever went into office, ever won the election, went into office. And it was to come against whoever got the presidency that wasn't deep state or puppet, you know, a puppet. It was to come against them to make it nearly impossible. It was the implementing, all these people that are lying and doing all this stuff through all the ABC agencies, they all signed these papers giving allegiance to the shadow government. So when the president came in, it was like his hands were tied. So this is all the undoing he's had to do. That's why we're not seeing the arrests like we want to see and things happen the way we want them to see. He's having to undo all of this stuff before he can even start to move forward. Well, Obama was stupid. Leaving all those openings for judges, oh. He was leaving them for Hillary. See, and God had another idea. And so right now, the president has 220 judges he's put into place. And these are people, young people, that will be on the bench a long time. And in a 1,000-year reign where you have advanced lots, ages, it may be, instead of on the bench 50 years, they may be on the bench 500 years. He wasn't smart. There was people over him calling the shots anyway. But that was, you know. And I understood it when I heard this about what they did. It's like they literally, in the last five presidents, have done this to each other to prevent an outside takeover. They've just passed it on. But they were all deep state puppet presidents. Okay, 20. But God is doing this. Men are not doing this. This is what God is doing. They're fighting against God in this. That's why they're losing at every turn. Everything they couldn't believe she lost. They still can't believe it. We just need to get a big thing of pacifiers, don't we? Because they're going to be throwing even bigger fits in 2020 in their prisons. Chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, we probably won't literally see this. And we probably won't see the Antichrist and the beast be thrown into the pit or in the lake of fire. Now, in the spirit, that's what's going on. Because if they're taken out, I mean, we're talking a system here. There's more than one person. There may be some leaders, but there's more than one person in it. All right. And cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they set upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his mark, neither had received his mark upon his forehead or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, get a picture of this. These people were killed during this overthrow and all of that. But then it says they live. Did I just read that right? And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So, because they were martyred, do they get a special privilege maybe? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, if we're all changed, I don't see the necessity in all of this, if we were all changed already. And they went up on the Sabbath on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We got to really read these carefully, because I'm thinking, man, there's stuff in there I never saw before. All right, after the 1,000 years, he's loosed to deceive. All right, just pick up with 11 there, sorry. And I saw a great white throne. Now, this is after the 1,000 years, after Satan's been loosed, after he pulls his shenanigans, after he's thrown into the lake of fire. And I saw a great white throne judgment in him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. So all those are in the graves today, they won't resurrect till after the 1,000-year reign. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So that means they're not changed. There's no changing yet till the dead in Christ rise, because these are not just wicked. These are also righteous, because the book of life is here. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I didn't write it. I know, we've got our pet scriptures and we got it all figured out how it's going to be. But you just find out whenever you start to try to tell somebody something like that, that's those sacred cows they don't want to let go of. Been indoctrinated their whole life in church. Oh no, you know. Okay. All right. Then, chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. See, people want to say what they think it says, not what it literally says. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto them, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst at the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, ascending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and he had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. All right, three gates, and we won't read that. And he walked, verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as a breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man that is of the angel. Okay, it goes along to talk about the walls are made out of stones and the pearly gates and all of that. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night, and they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that which was written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay, then he, chapter 22, this is what I was getting to. He showed me a pure water, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. That's my point. And they shall see his face. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So, I wanted you to see that. We will literally see his face. But this is after the 1,000-year reign. And he said to me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto us his servants the things which must shortly be done. Okay, I want to introduce you to the beast. The beast system. These are the 13 bloodline families. The Astors, the Bundys, the Collins, the Freemans, the Kennedys, the Lees, the Onassises, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Russells, the Van Duens, I guess is how you do that, and the Merovingians. Now, there might be some spinoffs from that. They try very carefully to marry within their own family. That's incest. Anyway. I really believe we're at the end. Obama and Hillary had a goal, and this is what it is. This is Sharia law. This was Obama's plan. This is what Sharia law is. Islam Sharia law is cast from the words of Muhammad, calleth hadith, his actions called sunnah, and the Quran, which he dictated. The Sharia law itself cannot be altered by its interpretation. But some cultures give it a little latitude. As a legal system, the Sharia law is exceptionally broad. While other legal codes regulate public behavior, Sharia regulates public behavior, private behavior, and even private beliefs. Compared to other legal codes, the Sharia law also prioritizes punishment over rehabilitation. In other words, you're killed for the crimes you do, not rehabilitated, and favors corporal and capital punishments over incarceration. Of all legal systems in the world today, the Sharia law is the most intrusive and restrictive, especially against women, according to Sharia law. Theft is punishable by amputation of the hands. Criticizing or denying any part of the Quran is punishable by death. Criticizing Muhammad or denying that he is a prophet is punishable by death. Criticizing or denying Allah is punishable by death. A Muslim who becomes a non-Muslim is punishable by death. A non-Muslim who leads a Muslim away from Islam is punishable by death. A non-Muslim man who marries a Muslim woman is punishable by death. A woman or girl who has been raped cannot testify in court against her rapist. Testimonies of 4 male witnesses are required to prove rape of a female. See, we see this working in our courts right now. That the ones that do the raping and all the bad stuff, they're exonerated, and it's the ones that have been the victim that are getting getting. I saw a deal last week of Tommy Robinson that somebody molested his child, and he went after the perpetrator, and he got arrested for holding the perpetrator after this person had raped his child. Testimony of four male witnesses is required to prove rape of a female. A woman or girl who alleges rape without producing a four male witnesses is guilty of adultery. A woman or girl found guilty of adultery is punishable by death. A male convicted of rape can have his conviction dismissed by marrying his victim. Muslim men have sexual rights to any woman or girl not wearing the hijab or whatever it is. A woman can have one husband who can have up, but men can have up to four wives. A man can carry an infant girl and consummate the marriage when she is 9 years old. Girls' clitoris should be cut. In other words, it's a big thing in the Muslim population to do what they mutilate the genitals of their female children. A man can beat his wife for insubordination. A man can unilaterally divorce his wife. A wife needs her husband's consent to divorce. A divorced wife loses custody of all children over 6 years of age or when they exceed it. A woman's testimony in court is allowed in property cases. It carries half the weight of a man's. A female heir inherits half of what a male inherits. A woman cannot speak alone to a man who is not her husband or relative. Meat to eat must come from animals that have been sacrificed to Allah. Muslims should engage in and lie to non-Muslims to advance Islam. And it goes on to talk about how many countries they've infiltrated. Quite a few. So, this is what they wanted for us. I just read a book, and the title of it is QAnon and the Thousand Years of Peace. It's the destroying of the New World Order and taking the kingdom of Christ by force by the Red Pill World, or the Freedom Force Battalion. They believe that we are in, I guess the storm, is Armageddon. They also said this, the Great Tribulation is not the end of humanity, is the battle raging between good and evil. I do agree with this statement. Remember now that the book of Revelation is full of symbolism, and I believe that's why it has always been so mysterious and confusion. Most don't even read it for that reason. The Lord brought this up to me this week, and I want to share it with you. And I've already talked to you about the stars shall fall from heaven. And here's three scriptures if you want to look them up. Mark 13:25, Revelation 6:13, and then Matthew 24, which is 29-31. All three verses in the Strong, the word star means literally or figuratively. Okay. This week I saw a video of Oprah Winfrey and Madonna take major falls on stage. Movie stars are falling down. They are exalted by Satan. He always raises up high places, and we are, as the church, are bringing it down in Jesus' name. Have you ever heard of the Eastern Star? That's a Masonic symbol. The Super Bowl halftime show was full of Masonic symbolism, but it's all coming down. I wrote down that this, just since 2020, we've had 219 CEO departures. God is lifting up and bringing down. He's draining the swamp. My final thoughts and the reason that I believe the events of the book of Revelation is mostly symbolic is because Jesus is coming as a thief. And I want to look at these scriptures on that. Thief means stealer. Stealer, literally or figuratively. He comes as a thief. How is the knowledge of God stolen? No perception, because of being asleep spiritually. Okay, Matthew 24 is the first one. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man. The two shall be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. The two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I wouldn't think he would come when we have all of our set times. Well, it has to happen this way, it has to happen that way, and then, I don't see it anymore. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to be awake and watching. Okay, 2 Peter. I didn't know there was so many scriptures about Jesus as a thief. 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. If it is not spiritually discerned in being awake, could there be a possibility that it could be missed? It surely indicates it in the parable of the virgins. Lord's been really hammering the parable of the virgins the last few weeks. If we are the sons of God, then we're led by the Spirit of God, right? Why would he lead us any other way? It is the unbeliever that looks for signs or seeks them before they will believe. Well, the sign of the Son of Man will be witnessed in our spirits. Okay, just a few more. Acts 1:11. I read this last week. It says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So he's going to come back the same way he left. Okay, Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Look at this last one. All right. Revelation 19, we see Jesus on the white horse accompanied by those on white horses. I believe this is what John saw take place in heaven, that it is a heavenly warfare we are encountering. It's the overflow of the Antichrist beast system. But I challenge you to do your own research and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about it. But like I said, I do not in any way believe that I know everything. No one has all revelation. No one. I don't care who they are or what they say. Nobody has it all. But I hope this is enough to kind of challenge you to look in it for yourself instead of what we've learned or what somebody says, because they're all over the place when it comes to the book of Revelation.